Welcome everyone this morning. It's great to see all of you, your faces, and beautiful singing again this morning. Our lesson today, we are going to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 3. And Paul here begins this chapter with the thought that I am going to use as the title. He said, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come." He said, "For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money." And he goes on to talk about the types of degeneration of society, the moral breakdown that's going to occur in these last days that he's describing here. Paul was at this time writing to Timothy, knowing that he was probably not going to live much longer, and the overall message of this letter is encouraging Timothy to remain faithful and to finish the race that we have all begun as Christians, the importance of finishing that race and completing the job that we have begun when we committed to following Jesus Christ. But a question that comes up as we think about the last days is, are we living in the last days? Is the time that Jesus is going to return coming near? I'm sure that there are a lot of us who have those thoughts from time to time. And certainly that could very well be the case. But I want to point out something this morning as we begin to look at this chapter in 2 Timothy chapter 3, and that is that when he talks about this, he is saying that in the last days, perilous times are going to come, meaning there are going to come times of stress, there are going to come times that are dangerous, times that are... The word that is used here is the same word that Jesus used in Matthew chapter 8, verse 28. He was talking about the man possessed with the demons, the legion of demons, that when they approached him, they said he was exceedingly fierce and no one could tame him. He was chained and breaking the chains, and so he was a very violent man, but it's that word that is used here in describing the last days, these perilous times that will come, times that can be very dangerous and very stressful for all of us as Christians. But I want to point out that the way that the word last days is used in the scriptures is that to refer to the time that we are now living in, the New Testament times. There is, as you study the Bible, there is the Old Testament, and that extended down to the time when Jesus died on the cross. And during that time, law was the predominant way of God dealing with man through law. But after Jesus died on the cross and rose and ascended up to heaven, the New Testament, we are living in an era of grace, the Bible tells us. And this began with Jesus ascending to heaven after his resurrection, and it will end when he returns, as he has promised to do. But when the Bible speaks of the last days, it's describing that this period of time that began when Jesus died and ascended to heaven, and when he will return, that will conclude. But we are living in the last days, and the last days has continued for many centuries as we now live. So it's not referring to the final ending of time, as we sometimes think. I believe there is a misunderstanding that a lot of times happens when people use this term. But I want to clarify and be clear that what Paul is referring to here is referring to this Christian dispensation, this period of grace that we're living. And during this time, Jesus is reigning on the throne. Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of God. And he sat down there and began to reign. And he will conclude that when he returns to this earth and gives the kingdom over back to his Father, that God may be all in all, as the Bible says. But Paul is saying that during this time, perilous times will come. So as Paul was about to die and end his life, he was looking to Timothy to continue on and wanting Timothy to know that the reality was that perilous, grievous times would come even in Timothy's lifetime, and that he was to be preparing for this. We all need to be preparing that grievous times, perilous times. And there is little doubt, if any, that we are now living in these perilous times. The characteristics that the apostle describes here are very much consistent with what we are seeing in our own day and time. The thing that he emphasizes here in the following few verses is, as we look at that, that there is a decay of spiritual character that is very widespread. And that in terms of general characteristics of society and people who seem to be very dominant and visible throughout society, that men are going to have certain of these characteristics. And he lists a number of them. But he said, as you frame this, the beginning and the end really says a lot. It really almost says everything to what he is getting at. That men will be lovers of themselves rather than lovers of God. And you could almost stop there and see the point that he is talking about here, that men are going to be very self-centered, very narcissistic, that the world revolves around us and it is for me and my pleasure and my fulfillment. Lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. This is going to lead them to a degeneration of character and a decay of character in spiritual qualities of life. So that he said that men will be boasters, they will be proud, they will be blasphemers, they will be disobedient to parents. And those things all seem to go hand in hand, because pride, when we believe that we are the center of everything, and the most important thing is me and what I need, my desires and my fulfillment, then we become boastful and proud and arrogant and conceited, and children become disobedient to their parents. He says there's a number of things that are missing in the lives of these people. And in the Greek language, this is always begins with the letter A. We have things that we are familiar with, like amoral or atheists. The word A means without or lacking in those things. He has about six or eight of these that he lists here. And the word unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, and he goes on to speak of those qualities. These things, he said, will be missing and lacking in the lives of many of the people. They will then be slanderers without self-control. They will be brutal, meaning uncivilized, uncivilized. So people would reach a state here that they will be very hard and very brutal and sometimes violent and taking things into their own hands, committing crimes, despisers of good, traitors, meaning they betray confidences and betray commitments that they have, even to those that are close to them, and headstrong, meaning rash and volatile and unpredictable. Haughty goes again hand in hand with what he began saying, boasters. But then notice the last one, having a form of godliness, but denying its power. And from such people turn away. Now right here is another clue that we see that Timothy was living in the last days at the time that the apostle is writing this, because he's telling Timothy in so many words that these characteristics that he's describing, they exist and are present there in Ephesus where Timothy is preaching, that he is going to find some of these very people that he is going to be dealing with. So he says, from such people turn away. Stay away from them. Avoid these people. Have nothing to do with them. And that is seems to be a little surprising, because just in the last chapter, Paul was telling Timothy that he needed, in his being a minister for Christ, that he needed to be very kind and gentle and long-suffering with people, and correcting those who are in opposition if God will grant them repentance so that they may know the truth and come to their senses and escape from the control of Satan, which he certainly was wanting Timothy to be a very patient, kind, and long-suffering and loving type of person in his work with people. But here he comes to dealing with a group of people, all of these characteristics that he's describing. And he says, Timothy, from such people turn away. Just have nothing to do with them. So he's warning here of people that are more caught up in sin or committed in a way of life of loving self more than loving God. And he doesn't seem to hold out much of the same feeling that, Timothy, if you're kind and loving and you work with them, you can bring them out of the Satan controlling their lives and bring them back to faith in Christ. He is wanting Timothy to understand that these people here are of a different spirit. There's going to be some people that are going to be really almost irredeemable, or to the point here that he is saying, Timothy, in your work, you have to not give any space to them to come into the church because of the danger and damage that people like this may very well do. So his first point that he is making here about living in the last days is to make this point very clear to Timothy that we need to expect difficult times are going to come. And not living in the belief that sometimes is held in our society today, that we are moving towards the days of utopia, if government has all of its, can do everything for us, and we will have free health care and we will have free education, that we will get to a point of a utopian society some of these days. Well, the Apostle Paul is saying just the opposite of that, that in the last days, things are going to get bad. There are going to be men turning away from God. And Timothy, as you are working to bring people to Christ and keep them faithful, you need to understand and avoid some of these people. Do not give them any room to come and enter into the church and have an influence there. But he says some of these people have a form of godliness, but denying its power. And we want to talk about that some more now, because his second point that he is making is that we need to watch out for counterfeits. because there are going to be people that have the appearance of being godly, and yet there's not any power with that godliness. They have the form of godliness. That is, they have the outward shape. They have the outward form of godliness. But the real inward change of life, of actually living a godly life, is totally missing from the lives of these people. So there is the talk, but there's not the walk. The actual living of a godly life is absent from the lives of these people. They put forth the appearance of godliness on the outward look, but it's missing the power. What is the power of godliness? It's to change a person's life, to change our lives from ungodliness to godliness. And that's what the power of the gospel of Christ has, the power of God unto salvation, the power to take a person who is bound in sin, to free them and give them a new life in Christ. But it's missing from the lives of these people. So he's warning, watch out for counterfeits who are going to come, and they are going to even try to creep into the church, and they are going to present themselves as ministers and people who look the look of righteousness. But beware, beware, Timothy. These men are not what they claim to be. So he said, "For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth." Now, he points out here that one of the methods that these men will operate by is that they will try to make their way into the households of some of the people of the church, especially the women. And he seems to especially concentrate here that there are going to be women who would be targets of these types of false teachers. That they would creep into households, they would sort of sneak their way in and want to get on the inside. Now, they may attend the worship service, but a lot of the work that they will do that is dangerous is that they want to get people aside, get into their homes, have maybe Bible studies there or discussion groups, and through that try to influence and sway some of the most vulnerable people into their way of life and their way of thinking. So he pointed out here that there would be women here who would be gullible, and one of the reasons they would be gullible is because they have not really resolved the past sins in their lives. They are loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts. So here were women who were some within the church, I believe he's indicating. These women were Christians, they were in the church, but because of their gullible nature, they still are dealing with sins that have come back from their life before, they have not fully dealt with these, in other words, and they're led by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, there are some people who never seem to really come to the knowledge of the truth. And maybe they don't really want to come to the knowledge of the truth. Maybe one of the reasons they like being a Christian is because they can talk about things in their life, and they feel that it is a forum for them to be able to air out some of this drama from their past life. But these types of women, he is saying, are vulnerable to false teachers. If false teachers come along, and these women have some knowledge of the Scripture, We might say they have just enough knowledge to be dangerous. Almost, they have not come to a knowledge of the truth where they would say, I have an understanding of the truth. I understand Scripture. I understand what it is to be a child of God. And I'm committed to that. They have not reached that point, he's saying. And therefore, when they hear something new, a new fad of doctrine that comes along, they just grab hold of it. They do not have a good discernment to say, no, I understand the Scripture here shows why this is false, and I'm not going to believe that. So there's a problem, he is saying, that can exist in the church where there are some women, and it can also be men, I believe, can be just as guilty of this, but always learning, like the knowledge, the intellectual knowledge is an appeal, but never really being willing to commit to the truth so that people are listening to all sorts of information out on the internet. They're listening to podcasts. They're listening to all sorts of things, but they have not committed to the truth of what the Scripture teaches. Therefore, they're very vulnerable to being led here and there. As Paul said in the book of Ephesians, tossed to and fro and every wind of doctrine. Does that sound like anybody you know? That some people today have that very tendency and that very characteristic. In other words, they're not grounded as they need to be in the solid foundation of the truth of the Scripture. So it's like listening to new things all the time. And when a false teacher comes and presents a credible thought to them, they gravitate to that. They're drawn to that. And so they become a target for these types of people. Now, he said that there's an example from the Old Testament that speaks to this of being counterfeits. And what he said earlier, that they have a form of godliness, but not the power thereof. He mentions here now, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they will progress no further. For their folly will be manifest to all, as theirs also was. Now, Jannes and Jambres were the two magicians that appeared when Moses came before Pharaoh in Egypt. And the name of Jannes and Jambres comes from Hebrew tradition and rabbinical sources. It's not named as such in the Old Testament. But Paul is referring here to these two magicians. Now, they were counterfeits of Moses. God gave Moses the ability to, when he went before Pharaoh, he said to throw down your rod and it will become a snake. It will become a serpent. And Moses did this when he came before Pharaoh. He threw down his rod and it became a serpent. It was a miracle from God. But it says the magicians of Pharaoh did the same thing. They threw down their rods, apparently, and they became serpents. And Moses, therefore, saw that here were men who were trying to counterfeit and imitate the same miracles that he did so that they could resist God speaking through Moses. The same thing that Paul is warning here Timothy about. He said, as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, and they were counterfeit magicians, but they stood up to resist Moses, to resist the truth of what Moses was bringing from God. He said, so do these also resist the truth. These men that appear to be godly and want to have a Bible study with some of the women in their homes, they are actually resisting the truth, and they are men of corrupt minds, disapproved concerning the faith. But he says they will progress no further because eventually their folly will be exposed. Eventually people will see through what they are teaching that it's false. They really will not go that far. But he wants Timothy to be aware that these men will try to draw people away, and their folly will eventually be exposed. But we need to point out and warn people that there can be men who are counterfeit, who will present themselves as teachers of God, and yet they will actually be resisting the truth and lead people away if they are not confronted. Paul continued, though, in verse 10 through 13, and he says, "But you have carefully followed my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, love, perseverance, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me in Antioch, in Iconium, and at Lystra, what persecutions I endured, and out of them all the Lord delivered me. Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So Paul is telling Timothy that he needs to follow the right examples. This is an important piece of advice for us as we're living in the last days. What examples do we follow? Who are the role models that we look to in wanting to live a godly life? He says here to Timothy, he said, "But you have followed me. You have carefully followed my life, my teaching, my purpose, my manner of life, my faith, my long-suffering, my love, my perseverance." So Timothy had the privilege of being with the Apostle Paul from a very early time in his life, many years now. He had been able to know the Apostle Paul. He had watched him. He had observed him. And he has seen all these things about the Apostle Paul, his teaching. He knows that the Apostle Paul, what he teaches, is consistent. Paul doesn't compromise the truth. His manner of life. Paul, when he teaches how to live the life of a Christian and what salvation is, the Apostle Paul is a man that lives that life. His purpose is to serve God with all of his heart. His faith is genuine. He is very long-suffering and patient with people. He's kind. He's loving. And he endures great persecutions. He's willing to endure afflictions. So he says, persecutions, afflictions, which happened to me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. From the very beginning, when Timothy first knew the Apostle Paul, in Acts chapter 14 and 13, this is Antioch of Pisidia that he is referring to here, that Paul endured persecutions there from the first time that Timothy knew him. He was faced with persecutions. Timothy understood that. So in Paul's life, Paul was a role model for Timothy. Just like in Moses' life, Moses was a role model for Joshua, who came after him. Each one of us, we need to be following the right kind of examples in our life. Let me ask you the question this morning. Who are the role models in your life today? Do the role models in your life, the examples that you follow, do they look more like the life of the Apostle Paul? Or do they look more like the life of those men that he described in the first few verses? Men who are lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure, lovers of money, rather than lovers of God. What do they talk about, your friends who you listen to and you follow? Do they talk about money all the time? Do they talk about going on vacations around the world? Do they talk about living in big, beautiful homes? What type of example are they setting in their life? Are you following someone and emulating someone in your life whose life is like that of the Apostle Paul, a man who sacrificed so much of his life? You know, so many young people today are growing up with this idea, this model before them, that love self, love pleasure, love money, do everything that is pleasing to you. We were watching a video the other night to show how extreme some of this can be. I think this was happening in England, but these kids, college-age kids, were lying down in the freeway. And they were lying there, and the traffic was stalled back as far as you could see, because these college kids are staging some kind of a protest. I don't even know what it was that but it showed this one guy stopped his truck, and he got out, and he went over, and he grabbed one of the kids by the back of his shirt, and he just jerked him, and he said, "Get over there and stay there. Don't get back up," so that the people could get in their car and at least go forward. But we have today a lot of people who are following the wrong examples. They are following the example that is teaching, live for yourself, fulfill yourself, live your truth, instead of an example like Timothy had before him. He said, "But you, Timothy, don't be like that. You have carefully followed my doctrine, my manner of life, my purpose, faith, long-suffering, which happened to me at these early cities in his ministry." What persecutions. And he said, "Out of them all, the Lord delivered me." The Lord has delivered me. Yes, I suffered persecutions. I gave up many things for Christ. But the Lord has been there with me and blessing me in the work that I have been. That's the example, Timothy, that I want you to follow in your life. And he said, "Yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. But evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived." So if you choose to follow Christ, Timothy, you can expect that many people are going to oppose you. You're going to have people who resist the truth. People who even will resort to bringing some type of persecution to shut you down or to prevent you what you're trying to argue and teach. But he said, on the other hand, look at what evil men is going to... Look at the fruit of their life. They're going to get worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so whose life do you want to follow, Timothy? You have a choice. Each one of us has a choice. You can choose those examples that the world holds forth, or you can choose Christ and the Apostle Paul. Some people today want to attack the Apostle Paul. They say, the Apostle Paul was a radical. He believed that women do not have the same rights with men. He believed that you should only be married one time in your life. And he was such an extremist, people argue. Jesus, on the other hand, he was all about love. Jesus didn't say any of these things the Apostle Paul talked about. Well, that's the lie that is being... Because the Apostle Paul had the Lord's approval. The Apostle Paul was sent by the Lord. He was chosen by the Lord. He was the ambassador for the Lord. So his life is a life that was fully consistent with a life in the teaching of Jesus Christ. But each one of us has to choose which we will follow. The final thought that the apostle has here is, stay with the Bible, Timothy. Stay with the Bible. Stay with the Word of God. Stay with the Scriptures. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them, and that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So the Scriptures will lead us to Christ. And Timothy had been taught the Holy Scriptures from the time that he was a small child. He said, knowing from whom you have learned them. Now, who had he learned them from? He had learned them from his mother. And the Scriptures that Paul was referring to here, the Old Testament Scriptures. They did not have the New Testament Scriptures at this time yet. But he said, from a childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament Scriptures, and they are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So even the Old Testament Scriptures will lead you to faith in Christ and to salvation in Christ. It's never too young to teach our children about Christ and teach them the Scriptures. Timothy was taught from the time that he was a child, a young infant almost, in his life. He grew up knowing the Scriptures, and they led him to faith in Christ. And he said, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is God-breathed, in other words, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have this great statement here at the end of chapter 3 about the Scripture, the inspired Word of God. All Scripture, that is the Old Testament, the New Testament, all Scripture that now consists of the fullness of Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. It is breathed out of the mouth of God. It comes to us from God. And it is profitable for doctrine, for correction. It is profitable, the usefulness of the Word. Think of the usefulness of the Word. That each aspect of Timothy's need to teach people how to be saved and how to live a godly life, it's all there in the Scriptures. Teaching people, that is instructing them, correcting, rebuking those who are in sin and who need to be rebuked. Even though it might be an elder, even though it might be someone that is an older person, that it may be, but you can go to the Scripture and be able to know how to do that in the proper way. Training in righteousness, equipping new believers in God's ways. And he said, so the written word is profitable for all of these purposes, and the man of God, so that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The thing that we take away as we think about living in the last days is that there's going to be some hard times coming. The Apostle Paul makes that clear. He doesn't lead us to think that it's going to be rosy times in those last days. There's going to be very difficult, stressful days ahead. But he's wanting us to understand, you have the Scripture. You have good examples that God has given us. And you can follow those. And if you go to the Scripture, you can find everything that is needful for spiritual instruction and guidance in your life. God has given us the complete revelation of His will so that it is capable. We can be capable. We can be equipped. We can be proficient. We can be able to meet every need that is there in the way of helping people find the way of truth and stay on the path of salvation and finish the race for Christ. So we're equipped. We're prepared. We can be ready to meet every good work. If you have the Bible in hand and the Bible in heart and the Bible in your understanding, you are well equipped to deal with the challenges that are going to come as we are living in the last days. And we are living in the last days. We have been living in them for the last 2,000 years, really, since Jesus ascended to heaven. Jesus is on the throne. He's coming again. But here on earth, there are men who reject God, who turn away from God, and men who would even come into the church and try to lead the faithful away from the truth. So we need to be aware. We need to be on guard and spot counterfeits and separate and discern between truth and error, and not be easily led astray with some new teaching that does not square up with Scripture. We're going to extend the invitation of the gospel at this time. If you're here this morning and you're subject to Jesus, we would like to invite you to come to and respond as we stand and sing the invitation song.
I am happy today, oh yes, I'm happy today in Jesus Christ. I am happy today.